From the Haunted Attraction Network, this is Haunting the Globe, a show about haunted attractions. I'm Philip, and today we're exploring the story of a video game developer who wants to turn the haunted house experience into a game. Drake is nearly finished developing Horror Legends, a multiplayer survival horror game. The premise? Three players fight to survive an encounter with a player-controlled monster. Drake has done some out-of-the-box things to promote his game, including setting up a mini-haunt at several conventions and illustrating a comic book. And so today, we explore Drake's story. The story of a haunter who found this industry by chance while trying to promote his horror survival game.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.
This is Haunting the Globe. Short but intense interviews from haunted attractions around the world.
My name is Drake Kazmierczak. I'm an indie video game developer. I am leading a development team called October Games. We're a collaboration of artists and programmers working in our spare time and try to create our own passion projects. One of which is our current project, Horror Legends, is an online multiplayer survival horror video game. It takes a lot of inspirations from the horror movie genre. We want to implement asymmetrical multiplayer components. So we have one character gets to play the haunter, which we call the legends. So if you think about it, like if you have a haunted house, you have your actors who are portraying the monsters inside the haunted house. You have one person actually playing this role, and they get to scare your friends by going to an online match and entering an environment, and you get to like stalk them online and creep them out and, you know, pick up a variety of monsters. And it's really up to you. It's kind of like a horror movie sandbox in a way.
Exactly. So it allows, in a sense, people to play through their own horror game.
Yeah. We like to give them the pieces to create their own scenarios.
So you can play as the monster or you can play as the person being scared.
Yes.
And the idea is that you can play with your friends so that you can like, yeah.
It's like playing Ghost in the Graveyard as a kid. I think kind of that feeling is one of the key inspirations, you know, growing up and you play that game. There's a lot, something fun about being scared and, you know, running around in the dark and stuff like that. We want to really design a game around that concept. There's a variety of monsters, so it's not just like a slasher character. There's a lot of creative ways to stalk and spook your friends.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of the haunter tie-in here, is those elements of being able to scare people and playing this game through the lens of the monster or the scare actor, you know, in the industry kind of
exactly.
thing.
Yeah, one of my favorite elements of the game is we design a lot of the things that maintain a mystery. So if you play a lot of multiplayer games, the more you play, the more you memorize things, and it just becomes repetition, and the game just turns into like reflex rather than anything else. Well, we're trying to design something that it's always fresh. We like to implement random object spawns, item spawns for the players to use, so they're not necessarily sure what tools are going to be available to them in the environment. And each character they can play as have different set skills and abilities that they're going to be able to utilize against the monster. But one of the key things is kind of a risk-reward, because they're not sure what the monster player is going to be using, what monster they're going to be using. So they really can't metagame and pick, like, oh, I'm just going to pick this guy because he's picking that guy. Well, it really is like you have to use your best judgment, and that's where a lot of the, I think, fun comes in, just like adapting to your situation. Because I think you watch a lot of those horror movies, those early parts of the film, they're not necessarily prepared for what's coming. It's our job to like kind of keep that true in the game. And I think that's where a lot of fear comes in and a lot of fun comes in, trying to like think your way out of a situation.
Yeah, recreate that atmosphere in the game setting, multiplayer setting.
Yeah. We want to keep it simple and accessible to people to get. So we're designing the game with a low level of entry as far as cost and computer requirements. But we're doing our best to make the graphics as good as they can be under those restrictions. I mean, if you look at like phone games, like they're starting to look amazing, and there's no reason why we can't create PC games with a high level of fidelity with a low entry level, so you don't have to get like the latest graphics card to play it. I want everyone to be able to enjoy this game.
Tell me about some of the things that you have done to create the characters for and to promote the game.
We've been developing this game for about 2 years now. It's been a slow process, but I've been very determined. It's just one of my dream projects. So one of our first attempts at crowdfunding, we got a booth at Seattle Crypticon. We ran a really big event there where we were selling merch and giving away prizes, and we had a live action demo of what the game was going to be like. Now, some of the merch was like, I illustrated a comic book with building the lore of the game. I mean, there's a story behind every character. We want you to care about these people that you're playing as. They're not just throwaway human characters. Like, I want you to get invested or find the one that relates to you the most. After we've added enough in there, you're going to hopefully someone, there's going to be someone in there for someone to play as that they're going to be, oh, I relate to that person. I want to play as that. So we wanted to start building up the lore with the characters we're showcasing already. So I wrote and illustrated a comic book and sold issues there, and I made posters and t-shirts, and we were raising funds. And the most interesting part about this whole thing was we made a haunted maze. We had actually a foam latex suit created of our main legend, Punky. And what we would do is we had an actor inside a moderately constructed maze. People would play horror legends in real life, in a sense, where we would give them a small objective, collect three things, and bring it to me. I give them something for free up my booth, and they would go in there and basically play flashlight tag with a monster and try to get through this maze. It was a relatively small maze. It was two rooms in a hotel, two like rooms that we're in right now, in a sense. And people would just go in, and I've seen grown burly men like run out of there. They got so scared. I think it was the intimidation of like they were in control. Mm-hmm. Like where some haunted houses, people are kind of passively walking through it, and they're not really in control where they're going. I mean, obviously they're in control of their movements, but they have to follow a linear path where this is like, well, it's up to you to get through this, and you could lose. And I think that really adds a lot of fear. And the fact that no one knew what the suit looked like, they just saw my illustrations and 3D renders, and they're like, how is that in there? If you saw a picture of this character, he's really exaggerated and spectacular looking compared to what you're used to in slashers. He's not just wearing a mask. Like, he is a beast in a sense. So people were like, kind of like, I don't know what to expect. And they're expecting something kind of weird looking. They walk in there, and the suit was so well done. You can see some images of it online on our website. Yeah, I think this just shock of seeing it scared them. And he didn't jump out or say boo. He would just walk by, and I've seen burly men run out of there, seeing his presence. And it was just kind of cool. And it really, you know, I want to bring that to the game. Like, they didn't know what to expect and came out when they least expect it. And we're definitely designing the game with that in mind.
Excellent. It's not only a comic book, but an actual maze demo to build the idea of this is what the game is going to experience. This is the atmosphere that we're trying to recreate.
Yeah, it was like, it was so early in development at that point. Like, the prototype that I had built to test the idea in the first place was not worth showing. Like, it was just a simple, something I would go, okay, let's play this, see if this concept even works. And the graphics are so primitive that I couldn't show it. So I was like, okay, well, what if we did something live action? My friend who worked at the Great Horror Campout did something very similar to that. And I was like, oh, well, what if we did something like that then? Because we have a corn maze in the game. He was a chupacabra in the Great Horror Campout, in the West Coast Great Horror Campout experience. And it was like a dark maze with chupacabras running through it. People have to like play flashlight tag with these things and they get kicked out of the maze. I was like, well, there you go. That's how our game, we can kind of implement the idea that you're in the Punky's corn maze and really implement some of that stuff and give them an idea what this game's going to be like. They couldn't play from the monster's perspective, but at least they get an idea, you know?
Yeah.
And it proves that we know what we're doing because we scared a lot of people that day.
Yeah.
Kids kept going in and out. They loved it, and then they just loved the experience.
So you don't come from a haunting background. I mean, you're not a haunter, you know, in the classic
sense. I guess I am
now
since I did that.
Yeah,
exactly.
We
actually did two haunts, including Seattle Crypticon. We did something at Pierce County Asylum. We had two monsters now. We have physical costumes for that. We had guest appearances at the Pierce County Haunted Asylum in Tacoma, Washington. And it was a big hit there, too. They were just part of their haunted house attraction, but I made it a game still. Mm-hmm. So anyone who wanted to play, I gave them a little ribbon and saying, like, protect this ribbon. If a monster yanks this ribbon off you, you don't get a free poster from my booth. And so they would go into the maze, and they thought every person that was jump scaring them had the ribbon or was going to yank the ribbon off them. But I didn't have much to work with, but it was fun. I think we definitely want to do something like haunting again, like that again. But I think right now we're just going to be focused on our game and try to get our foot in the door and, you know, get some funding. Because right now we're like literally a zero budget thing. It's all passion. Like, I spent a lot of money on just getting this stuff out there and building it because it's just like I'm that invested in it. And I love this stuff.
Why are you so invested in it?
Because it's just what I want to do. Like, ideas that I want to make, and like, I just can't help myself. And the more I work on it, the more, the closer I get. And it's kind of like, I can't stop now. I got to keep going. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. Like, even though like our Kickstarter didn't go through, every time I talk to someone or show someone this, they're excited for it. And I think it's just, we just need to get the right amount of exposure. And since that Kickstarter, we've been developing the game still, like we always have. And the longer we develop it, the lower the cost gets, because we don't need to spend money because we've been doing it in our own time, which is not healthy because, yeah, I have lost a lot of sleep just doing this stuff, but I'm prepping for like conventions like the West Coast Haunters Convention and other smaller events in Seattle and Tacoma. Yeah, just taking what I can get. And I feel like it's been a slow incline. So I'm always making progress, and that's what keeps me going. So I'm going to finish it no matter what happens. I'll find a way. Yep. I always do. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from.
So speaking of that, where are you going? So we're coming from and this and that and it being a passion project, but now what are your future plans? Where are you going to go from here?
Essentially, what I plan on doing with the development, once I do start putting stuff out there, is we have so many ideas that we want to, we don't want to create too much overhead for us or make the game too big where we can't finish it. We're going to keep making it until we can't or we run out of ideas. So what we're doing is developing small chunks, and we're going to release it in small chunks, but it's not going to be early access. I mean, if you're familiar with the gaming industry, early access is kind of a, it's a little bit of a faux pas because you're releasing something that's incomplete. What we're releasing is complete sections of the game. Since everything's kind of designed to be modular and like you're mixing and matching things, you're not really losing anything. Initially, we want to launch the game with like 3 legends and 9, we call them cast members because they're like representative cast members in a horror film. So we're like 9 cast members, 3 per legend, so 3 legends. And then we have 3 maps. And then with amongst those, you can mix and match those characters and when you're playing as much as you want. So your experience is always going to be different. For the next season, we'll do the same thing. So 3 legends, 9 characters, 3 maps. And we'll just keep doing that. And it's no additional charge. So if you bought the game early, you're in. And those updates will be free to you. Because we don't want to divide our player base. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes with downloadable content, that could, you only people who have those downloadable content can play that. We don't want that. We want everyone to have everything. And that's like kind of the whole point of the game, is to have this combination of this variety of characters and assets that you can play around with and create your own haunt, you know, on your computer with your friends. We don't have to like build anything. You can just feel like doing it. There you go. It's all there.
So that's the modular system that you have set up.
Yeah.
So where are you going to go from here?
Right.
Then?
From here, we're going to try to get a prototype that people can play by this Halloween. You know, things can change. You know, we don't have publishers or money flowing in. That can change a lot of our plans. I'm really good at adapting to whatever's coming, but we're going to get that done, and we're going to get that prototype done, and then we're going to run another crowdfunding campaign to get to try to tie in the rest of the pieces. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that prototype's going to entail. Could be something really simple, but and to show that we can complete this work and you can kind of touch it and like play it and you know see what here's what it is, and then you can go, okay, if I want to donate to this, then yes. Most of these crowdfunding things don't have playable prototypes. They usually have just concept art or an idea and hope. But we're so far along that we can, here, play this. We just need to be able to tie the loose ends and finish it and push it out. So we're trying to hope to get something ready for this Halloween. Could be later, could be sooner. At this point, it's a little early right now. It's, you know, May 1st. Yeah. So, so planning on getting, you know, multiplayer works, but we need to fix it up for this summer. So it's lots of work to do.
So you're going towards a demo.
Yeah. We're going towards a demo. Sorry. That was long winded.
Yeah.
I want people to understand if they're in the game industry, they know where I'm coming from.
So you're going to demo basically.
We're going to demo in October and then we're going to do a crowdfunding campaign to finish our first season.
Nice.
Yeah.
You will be able soon to see all these elements interacting and play them. And now you can look at the comic book and introduce yourself to the characters and kind of get the backstory for everything.
Right. Well, the first edition of the comic book is nearly sold out. We had 50 issues last year and sold out. We sold a lot of them at Crypticon, then it's been slowly selling them throughout the year. And I think I have 2 issues left. But we're going to re-release it with extended scenes, hopefully by October. You'll be able to buy it digitally, and that could be a way to fund it. If you want to fund the game, just you don't feel like doing a crowdfunding campaign, you can buy the comic book digitally for like a buck. That's one way to help us out. And also, you get a cool little story to go with it. That's another plan we have.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else? Where can people find more information about this and follow you, et cetera?
Awesome. You can go to octobergames.com. And from there, on the top search bar or the top toolbar, you'll be able to see all the links to all social media, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. You can just direct links to everything there. Follow us on whatever you prefer. And our most active feed is probably Facebook at this point.
Yeah.
We do have a forum, too. If you have any detailed questions, they're probably the best place to go. There's some free stuff to download on our website, too, if you want to check it out. So
October Games.
Octobergames.com.
Excellent.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.